Welcome back to Mortgage Genomics Canada. I'm your host, Marco Gallo. I'm a duly licensed mortgage broker in British Columbia and Alberta, born and raised in Calgary, currently living in North Vancouver. If you're from either of these provinces and require any mortgage-related services, please do not hesitate to contact me. Call or text me right now at 604-800-9593. 604-800-9593. One application, one credit check, and access to Canada's top lenders. All right, welcome back, everyone. Just a quick blast here on this episode, a quick Here's What's On My Mind segment this week. So let's get at it. On June 7th, the Bank of Canada increased its overnight rate by a 0.25%. This is now old news, increasing the overnight rate to 4.75%, where it currently is today. Immediately following the announcement, traders placed the odds at about 98% in favor of another hike, the following rate announcement in July. So as it stands today, traders are now betting that there is about a 70% chance that the Bank of Canada will hike the policy rate by another 25 basis points on July 12th, just around the corner here. Taking the overnight rate to an even 5%. And this would, in effect, increase the prime rate to a whopping 7.20%. So if you're a betting man, I'd say probably expect another increase this coming announcement on Wednesday, July the 12th. So heads up there, we'll be listening for that, and I'll report on that probably the following episode or the following week. But let's take a closer look at why the odds dropped from 98%, you know, right after the last June announcement to 70%, where it is today. The CPI numbers, the Consumer Price Index numbers, they came out on June 27th. So that was after the last announcement. And this is the, you know, essentially the inflation metric that everyone follows. Announcing, and those numbers came out and they announced a full percentage point drop in inflation. And this is the lowest level since June 2021. So the CPI came in at 3.4%. In May. So this was reported in June, and you know, the June numbers come out, the June report comes out for the numbers prior, which was May. So 3.4% was the inflation rate in May, compared to the month before that, 4.4% in April. Still a point and a half above the Bank of Canada target rate of 2%. And I have mixed emotions about this news because, for me anyway, it was super discouraging to hear that the big decline was largely a result of lower energy prices. Like, seriously, that's where the 1% reduction came from. I was at the gas station the following day, you know, filling up my car with $2 gas. Like, I'm not feeling no 1% reduction in inflation. So telling me that fuel costs are the reason for the good news that week, it's kind of a messed up scenario thing we have going here. And still leading the way, the highest inflationary component within the index itself are interest rate hikes, which, by the way, are supposed to be aimed at reducing inflation. Yet the total opposite is happening. Canadians saw their mortgage payments increase 29.9% year over year. So just think about it. With these two metrics alone, the gasoline to fuel your vehicle, and virtually everything else on this planet that has value, like gasoline is associated to it, and the cost of servicing your mortgage, these are the two components that are overwhelmingly keeping inflation high. And they report that this 1% decrease in inflation is mainly a result of lower energy prices. That's like saying, you know, that the price of a Bentley, you know, the world-renowned Bentley, high-priced vehicle manufacturer, came down by like 10%. Like 10% discount on Bentley or Louis Vuitton or whatever. So in other words, it's still a raging ripoff and unaffordable, and, you know, to virtually every living being on the planet. Also, this whole gas and oil thing, it's a bit of a red herring type of scenario playing out as well. Like, with all the focus and blame shifted on the oil gas companies, like they're, you know, like they're gouging people, which, okay, I get it. You have a right to accuse them of that, and within a reasonable degree. But meanwhile, no one questions the money grab tax surcharges at the pump from all levels of government, it seems, when you fill up. Like in BC, for example, like 40 to 50 cents of what you pay at the pump is some form of tax, like GST, PST, carbon tax, you name it. Like it's the 40 to 50 cents. Like that's ridiculous. So the anti-oil sentiment in Canada has to stop. It's getting ridiculous and massively expensive. I know I talk about this all the time with oil and gas. We're just doing ourselves in while the other gas oil producing regions on the planet continue to roar ahead. And the second metric, which of course is near and dear to me, mortgage and interest rates. So here we are, fresh off the post-announcement press release, you know, from June, we learn the mortgage payments are the biggest reason why inflation remains high. And then we are told that, hey, we're not done yet. Expect another increase in July. So, like, what a mess. How it's so backward thinking. The good news is bad news. Bad news is good news. People are just really confused. So, anyway, in the span of about 4 days, the odds of another rate increase in July went from 99% to about 58% to where we are today, a full month later. Right? And then they threw in 70% in there prior to that. So fixed rates this past week, by the way, shot up, and prime rate is again expected to increase by another 25 basis points on July 12th. So with mortgage payments being the largest inflation causing component of the CPI, that only spells one thing to me. Inflation will remain higher still, or perhaps it may even shoot up a bit. So we're essentially fighting fire with fire here. It's becoming more and more clear that economists, central banks and governments have no idea what to do anymore. All they are doing is increasing rates and waiting for something literally to break. That's it. That's the game plan. Ridiculous. So we'll see how this stuff plays out. But I mean, again, we're increasing interest rates. I personally would think expect a little bit of inflation to occur as well.
Hey there, just a quick reminder about my servicing area, as I know many of you are listening from across the country. I'm a duly licensed mortgage broker in the provinces of Alberta and British Columbia. So if you are from these parts, shoot me a text at 604-800-9593 or look me up at homefinancingsolutions.ca. Throughout your dealings with me, you will also be introduced to my support team, Justin and Kelly. With the three of us, you can be rest assured we get every angle covered. And finally, over the years, I've built up some incredible working relationships with real estate agents, lawyers, notaries, home inspectors, and appraisers. So if need be, I can also be your one-stop shop and hook you up with a complete real estate team. The process is quick and swift. One application, one credit check, and access to Canada's top lenders. And now, back to the episode.
All right, let's move on from the Bank of Canada and onto another twisted metric that doesn't make sense and brings even more cause for concern. Residential construction costs in Canada have soared 51% since the start of the pandemic. Development land lending costs up 250%. In 16 months, housing starts have responded by falling to the lowest level since December 2020. And Canada just added another 1.2 million people. Think about that. Again, I've been telling people over and over again, you may see some lows play out in Canada's real estate market in the next, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But I would bet that you will likely see way more peaks. And if you're on the sidelines and waiting, you might as well pitch your tent and get comfortable. Or think of relocating to a more affordable region or city. And I don't mean to be harsh or extreme. I'm just being honest, and I'm telling you what I see from my book of business. I think a lot of people are making massive life-altering decisions out there. At the moment, all I can say is it is what it is. Canada is expensive. It's taxed like to the mountaintops, and it's just become very expensive, which leads nicely to my final point here. Canadians continue to pour into Alberta, and I did a podcast a few weeks ago, I believe, on people moving to Calgary and Edmonton. Alberta is yet again experiencing an influx of residents from other Canadian provinces and territories. Over the past 7 quarters, the province has attracted a total of 68,000 new residents. In the first quarter of 2023 alone, 31,031 individuals relocated to Alberta from other parts of the country, resulting in a net gain of over 15,000 residents. This quarterly gain is the sixth highest recorded since 1961, indicating a significant trend. The second highest net gain occurred in the third quarter of the previous year, with the record set in 1980. Meanwhile, only three other provinces, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island, observed net gains from interprovincial migration during the first quarter. So I don't think those are really fair metrics to compare against Alberta. The populations are significantly smaller, but nonetheless, those are the other three provinces. And here's the interesting thing. I've lived in Calgary for a majority of my life before moving out to Vancouver about 11 years ago. There was a time when people moved to Alberta for the booming economy, mainly oil and gas. But now things are different. People are moving to Alberta for one overwhelming main reason, and that's housing affordability. The economy isn't bulletproof in Alberta like it used to be, but it's good enough. Because in the end, those that come are coming from regions where they are able to sell off high and purchase at the moment low with the current affordability in Calgary. As I mentioned before or above, for most that migrate there, it's a huge upgrade in their personal lifestyle and finances. So expect this migration to happen in the coming years, especially as long as BC and Ontario remain unaffordable. That's all I got for today. Call or text me anytime if you have any mortgage questions at all, especially if you're in British Columbia or Alberta, as I am licensed to service these specific provinces. And especially if you are from Vancouver or Calgary, as I am very familiar with these markets. And of course, I welcome calls and emails from all over the world for those that are in the process of or have recently relocated or immigrated to Canada from elsewhere, as I specialize in new-to-Canada mortgage applications. Call or text me at 604-800-9593, or you can get me on WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, or just go ahead and link up to my website, homefinancingsolutions.ca. Thank you again for tuning into Mortgagenomics Canada. Stay well, everyone. Talk again soon.